Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good, thanks.
Good to be back with you.
Always good to be here on Sunday night. And we have our special guest here back tonight. If you heard last week's show, we had Julie Massey do a show about abundance, and she's back to do kind of part two. Hi, Julie.
Good evening, Uncle Phil. Good evening, Steve. How are you doing?
Good. Good.
You may remember that Julie's actually my niece and has a Christian business company, but a Christian business that she should talk a little bit about later, but we'll leave that up to her. But she's done a couple of shows with us about bringing God into the workplace. And last time we talked about abundance in several different situations. And we're going to continue that theme tonight. And then next week, we're going to start a series that's going to cover the time between the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem and the final Passover, which was 5 days later. So you want to stay tuned for that.
1 week for each day.
It's going to be awesome. 1 week for each day. And so today we're going to talk about abundance. So I'm going to turn it over to Julie so she can get us organized.
Well, hi, everybody. It's so nice that you're listening. Thank you very much. A special shout out to my mom, who we know listens. But we wanted to continue.
That would be my sister.
Yeah. But we wanted to continue about abundance because we felt like we had an abundance of abundance to talk about. So we wanted to continue on. And I really think that it's not too far a stretch from our talk about God in the workplace to abundance, because we know that our God is a God of abundance. And if we're walking with him, we feel abundantly blessed in all parts of our lives, not just certain parts or on Sunday mornings or on Friday afternoons or whenever people feel abundantly blessed. We are abundantly blessed all the time.
Would this be 57 minutes on Sunday morning?
It's even more than that. Oh. Yes. Yes, it is.
More than 57 minutes?
Yeah.
Wow.
Way more. Way more. And I like talking about why I do the show. Because I love being a part of teaching God's word. I so enjoy being in the studio with Uncle Phil and Steve. And I kind of wondered what your favorite parts of doing the show was. To me, it's just really meaningful to prepare and then to come and discuss and just sort of hope that someone who's listening gets something out of it or maybe looks at something in their life a different way than they had before. So I don't know what motivates you. So that was one of my questions. What do you like about doing the show?
Oh, wow.
Wow. Was this part of the rehearsal?
No.
Not all of this is scripted. Sometimes we just ad lib.
I know. Usually Phil and I have everything written out. But no, we don't. I think for myself, it's just sharing with others the love of God and what he's placed upon my heart in learning scripture, in taking Phil's Torah study.
Wait a minute. Let me stop you right there. Uh-oh. I have not taken Phil's Torah class.
You haven't?
I have not. I know that you have. It is strongly suggested.
You got an A.
Okay. All right there. Now it's all out. Okay. Yeah. Steve took the class.
That's a prerequisite for the other stuff.
All right.
I know minor chords.
We're 3 minutes in and that comes up. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So I think it's really a privilege to be able to do something like this because, God has, God equips each one of us in different ways. But it's all through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when you encounter the risen Lord in a way that your life is transformed and you're on a path and all of a sudden you're off that path and you're on a new path and he takes, that old wineskin and makes you into a new wineskin. Mm-hmm. Because when he pours that wine into that new wineskin, you can't be your old self because it's not gonna work.
And for everybody, it's that transformation is different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For some people, the transformation comes at a moment of epiphany, which just means it's like a lightning bolt, boom, mm-hmm. everything's different from that moment mm-hmm. on. For other people, it's more of a step-by-step gradual shift.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that's important to talk about, because when you talk about, you know, walking with God and being a believer, I think sometimes the expectation is there will be some almost magical change. And
right.
that's just not how God works. He meets us all a different way, the way that we need to be met and
yeah.
led.
Yeah,
and everybody needs something different.
Yeah, not everybody has a St. Paul conversion moment, you know, where you're all of a sudden blinded and 3 days later you regain your sight. And then you have this, you know, this great apostolate to go out and preach to the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. But we're all called to share the good news of the gospel, which is that there's forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus. And so, you know, talking about God's love and this mandate really that Jesus gave us to go out and spread the gospel, knowing that there's people listening, and that's the one thing with radio, we don't know who's listening.
Right.
And God can use it whichever way he desires. And, you know, you just pray that the Lord touches somebody as the words are being spoken and their soul is, you know, led closer to Christ, or they experience that moment of conversion or that grace of God's love that they can know that Jesus is risen, he died for them, he gave his life for them, and that they are forgiven.
Yeah, Jesus died for everybody,
yeah.
not just people who are trying, you know, to follow him closely. He died for everybody, for the smallest of sins and for the most egregious of sins. All covered.
All covered. Yep. I think it's pretty neat, too, that although we don't know who's listening, you know, we get emails from people in Africa and in Pakistan and
yeah.
of people that have heard the show. And once in a while, somebody in the Cleveland area. But a lot of Africans are listening, but in fact, it's very, and if any of the brothers and sisters are listening to us now or by at the website or whatever, we don't mean to laugh about that, because we're very honored
mm-hmm.
very
about
honored.
That. And I've also been very honored that some of these pastors have invited us to come to their country and do a conference at their church, or have us come and do a conference, you know, that they already have scheduled. And it's very touching when you get emails like that from Kenya and Uganda and Ghana and of these, you know, brothers and sisters in the Lord that are in these, you know, some places are very trying places. And even a church in Pakistan where, you know, as the person said, they were surrounded by fundamentalist Muslims and they have 70 people in their church. And, you know, they would like me to start doing teachings by Skype. So we've been kind of trying to work that out. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's pretty overwhelming. But I don't know if anybody in Independence or Parma is listening, but that's another story.
We can still do Skype.
Yeah, we can still do
even,
Skype.
Even
I'm sure there's people in Greater Youngstown that are listening.
Most likely. I think my wife is.
Yeah, but that's yeah, I mean, when you can see the God's word fundamentally transforms you in the sense that it gives you the foundation of what you need to do everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to study it to get ready to do a show, or whether we're doing a home group or a Bible study group or talking at a church, anytime you study the word in detail, you get so much better equipped to go on with your life. Mm-hmm. Because I think a good example is we did the Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus going to Egypt.
Right.
And I said to Steve, oh, you know what? Everybody's heard this. There's not that much on it. You know, we'll probably knock it off in 15, 20 minutes. We did three shows.
Yeah.
Because there's so yeah. many ramifications of it that as you start to study it, you say, wow, what about blah, 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 blah. And the next thing you know, we did three shows out of it because it's limitless.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like grace is limitless. And so is the power that's in the word. And I think, you know, as soon as I became a believer, I started reading the Torah, and I couldn't figure out why I was doing that. So I didn't know anything about it, and I was writing down notes, and I was reading books and reading a sixth-grade commentary and thinking, wow, this is really awesome. I never knew this before. And because that's kind of like that was the beginning of building the foundation. And, you know, we can't live our Christian life just kind of out in the air, kind of just walking around wherever you feel like it, because it's like we've talked about, you know, you build your house on shifting sand, and every time the wind blows and there's a storm, your house falls over.
Yeah.
But if you build it on a solid rock, you withstand what's going on. And, you know, we can tie, I think you're planning to talk about that later, you know, how our culture views abundance compared to how we view abundance.
Yeah.
Well, and in fact, that brings me to a question. I didn't get any emails from anywhere in the world, but I did get one of our cousins write me on Facebook. And the question was, how are we to recognize abundance? How do we describe abundance and God's abundance in our culture, which the mainstream media and just kind of common folklore and discussions discuss it so much differently than what we know as Christians to be abundance? And I thought that was a great question, because it makes all of us look back and think, oh, what is abundant? What is abundant blessings? Do we have abundantly great health? Well, I guess if you can't get out of bed to be able to wake up and shower and, you know, go where you want to go that day is abundant health. So that was her question, was how do we recognize abundance? So I thought there were a lot of verses that pertain to that, and I wanted to read John 2, 1 through 11, which is water turned into wine, which is when Jesus was at the wedding in Cana.
Reminds me of a Chris Tomlin song.
Yeah, Jesus Messiah.
Go ahead, sorry.
that's all right.
Oh, no, our God. I'm sorry. That's our God.
So I thought I would read that. And John 2, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." And his mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now, and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." And there's just so many remarkable things about that passage. Mm-hmm. And one of them is the amount of wine. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just a bottle on the table, mm-hmm. a bottle on each table. There were 6 huge containers of 20 or 30 gallons apiece. So it's hundreds of gallons, not just bottles. Then you multiply it by like 4 mm-hmm. to get number of bottles from the gallons. So there's way more than anybody could drink. And they had already had, it sounds like, quite a bit to drink.
Yeah. Those weddings used to last for days. Yeah. Days. So those of you that think Jesus made grape juice, I beg to differ with you. Because if those guys who had been drinking for a couple of days were given grape juice, they would have said, "What is this?"
Yeah. But they would have known
this difference. Was the best wine that mm-hmm. they had.
Yes. There was a master feast. So somebody was in charge and then told the bridegroom, "Hey, this is really, really great stuff." And actually, when Phil and I had talked about this passage before, he brought to my attention the passage, which is actually in a parentheses, "But the servants who had drawn the water knew." So not everybody, I mean, it wasn't like Jesus was up on stage and said, mm-hmm. you know, "Hey, watch this." Mm-hmm. You know, there were only a couple of people mm-hmm. who actually knew that he did this. Of course, yes. His mother. I just love the way his mother kind of bossed him around a little bit at a wedding. Mm-hmm. I kind of got a kick out of that. I don't know why. Yeah. But I had to go, Jesus, well, she, go, fix it.
She probably felt sorry for the bride and groom.
Oh, I'm sure she did. I think it was totally compassionate.
Totally messed up.
Oh, I think Mary was coming from a place of deep compassion. No doubt in my mind. But I just thought it was kind of cute how she said, Jesus, go help them. Go help them. But it wasn't something that everybody knew what was going on, and they weren't all, you know, watching and staring to see how he was going to handle it, what was going to happen next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the important word is servant. You know, if you're a servant, if you're following, you're tuned into what's going on. These guys, it took some time to fill up these jugs with water. You know, this is the middle of a dry area. They got these huge jugs. There's what, like 120 gallons or however much of water had to go into this. I don't know how many servants there were, but even if there were 10, it would have taken quite a bit of time.
Right, and with
they
small
had to
containers.
Go get water and fill these jugs. And they had to have those there because every time they ate, they had to wash their hands. That was part of the Mosaic law. So that's why they're there for ritualistic reasons. But without any ritual, I mean, Jesus doesn't say anything. He doesn't pray over the water. He doesn't, like you say, he doesn't stand up and say, can I have your attention? He just does it. But those guys took some time to fill this up. And then he doesn't say to them, wait, bring some of that over to me. Let me make sure it worked. Let me make sure it's good. He knows it's good. He knows what he did. He said, now take it to the guy.
Yeah. Now think of what the servants were thinking. I mean, you're a servant at a wedding. Well, you're very busy.
Yeah.
And they're thinking, what are we doing?
They knew that they carried water into these jugs. And now they know that there's good wine in these jugs. They knew what had happened. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me, I taught this at a Bible study last week, and it reminded me of a personal story when my wife and I were in a garbage dump in Mexico City, and we saw the miracle of food being multiplied. And the people who ate this food, they all wandered off. They had no idea what had happened. But then later, we said, wait a minute, how did all those people eat from two loaves of bread? And it was pretty amazing. So the servants, in other words, the people who were making the sandwiches, the people that were doing the work, the people that were there to serve the Lord, realized there was a miracle that happened. And the people who had the benefits of the miracle didn't know. Those guys at the wedding, they didn't know where the wine came from. They said, oh, this is good.
Right, and there was plenty.
There was plenty.
It's not like everybody got half a glass more.
Yeah. But I think a good lesson there is if you're serving, you're going to be kind of tuned into what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not serving, if you're not following, stuff goes on around you that you have no idea about.
You don't recognize it. You don't recognize it as the people that are serving. And, you know, I mean, they fill these jars up to the brim.
To the brim, yeah.
So if you're, like you said, they had to go somewhere and get the water to the well and carry the buckets back and fill each one of these jars up. You know, 20 to 30 gallons, how much water does a bucket hold?
A lot of time.
Maybe a gallon of water?
A gallon, yeah.
You know, that's 20, 30 trips for each jar.
Yep.
And so I think that kind of...
So it's very labor intensive.
Yeah.
But like you said, being a servant is really key because you are tuned into, if you get your eyes focused on the Lord, you are tuned into what he's doing, and you see the blessings.
And you don't mind doing the work that's involved.
Right, and that kind of gets back to the question, how do you recognize it? Well, if you're a servant, you recognize it. If you're just everybody else, you know, not paying attention, complaining, you know, work, you know, thinking about something else, you're not even going to recognize the abundance right in your midst.
Well, we're already to a break. Wow. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
I will call my people from the nations. I'll plant them in their land. It shall grow and flourish like a vineyard, not be moved again.
shout for joy when the fallen tent of David has been restored now. Oh, hallelujah. I will be a harvest from the nations. I'll bring them by the hand. Jew and Gentile worshiping together as one new man. Strike the harp and play upon the timbrel. Oh, children, dance and sing. Shout for joy.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
Was that Paul Wilbur?
That's awesome. Yes. We should do a song on the fallen tent of David being restored. Yeah. I mean, not a song, a show. You do the song. I can't do the song. Anyway.
You can sing.
Abundance. Cana. Wine.
Abundance.
Yes. Yes. And actually, during the while Paul Wilbur was singing, we were talking about how we're really fascinated with this question that was sent in. How do you recognize abundance? Because in our world, in our culture, just however you want to describe it, even if as people are chatting, someone has a quote unquote good job, people assume that means you get paid a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
It's never about, you know, serving or anything like that. It's usually about, well, he has a good job and that means he mm-hmm. makes a lot of money.
Yeah.
So abundance to God, really, that's not what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very different type of abundance, and we have to change our thinking in order to recognize abundance.
Yes,
and
yeah.
I want to read Matthew 6:26 because I think it'll help differentiate our thinking. And Matthew 6:26 says, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not worth much more than they?" And I will answer, yes. Yes, we are. But the whole point is the birds have abundant things to eat. They have many, many places to live. They can go anywhere, and they are cared for by God. There's always provisions for them. Your heavenly Father keeps feeding them, and they don't even do anything. They don't work to do that. So I think that's another way of thinking about that. Now, I know God wants us to do our part. He doesn't want us to sit back and,
yes.
you know, expect these things. But he wants us to go forward in a way that the world does not teach us to go forward. We're to go forward and help other souls, other people come to know Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's how we will be provided for. That's how we are provided for.
I think
that's what we're supposed to do.
I think the one thing that obviously culture and secular culture misses that is that all of creation really glorifies God, because God created everything. You know, the birds, the air, you know, the trees and all this, everything. Everything in creation is God's creation. And, you know, as you're saying, God provides for the, you know, for the birds, for the sparrow. And yet he says, you know, that every hair on our head is counted for, because we are more important to him.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, if you walk with the Lord, and sometimes we expect to have the whole roadmap in our life of faith, and that's really not how it is. It's a day-by-day trusting in God, a day-by-day stepping out and stepping forward and walking in and with God's grace, and not trying to figure the whole thing out and going, okay, now I got to figure it out. This is what I'm supposed to do. All right, thanks, God. I got it from here. A lot of times that's where an individual is going to run into a lot of difficulties, because they think they have God's plan figured out for their life when only they only have a glimpse of it.
Right. And it could change.
It could change.
It can change. Yeah. And that's why it's important to stay in really good communication with God, because chances are what he has laid out for you is not similar to the people around you, whether it's your family or your neighbor.
Almost always. It's very, Phil and I were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, where there was a friend of mine who is, you know, they're in the church one day and they're seeing all their friends there, and they know their friends are in different places, but they're here in this place and they're wondering, why am I here and my friends are all these other places? Well, it's like, you know, when John sees, or when Peter sees John, the disciple, and he says, well, Jesus, what about him? And Jesus is like, don't worry about him. You, Peter, come and follow me. If I want him to remain until I come back, that's none of your concern. So in walking with the Lord and being attentive to what God's asking us to do and relying on him, God can provide abundantly for our needs on a daily basis. And in fulfilling God's will and walking with him, God can take us places where we never thought we would even go. And not even, because a lot of times what we do in life, and I think Phil and I both have said this, what we do now is not something we really planned on doing.
Yeah,
you know, it's sure. God takes you down one road. He has you walk a little bit with him, and then he says, okay, we're going to go this way a little bit. And then now we're going to go straight for a while.
Well, and in the words of John Lennon, life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans.
Yeah.
I think God is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans. Not to rewrite John Lennon for you, but
yeah. And it's important, because, you know, a lot of times God takes us to a place where he wants to teach us something, and it's really preparation for what he has for us next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And next might be like in 25 years. I mean, you know, time for God is very different than time for us.
Mm-hmm. You know, even not to keep talking about the wedding feast at Cana, but
it's my favorite.
But you know, when you think about it, wine is a symbol of joy. The Bible says wine makes the heart glad. And this is an abundance of wine. The thing is filled to the brim, which in Hebrew thinking means it's awesome when something's filled to the brim.
And it's a party.
Then when it starts to overflow, that's like just overwhelming. And you know, these guys, interestingly, they go, you know, Moses was a servant. You know, we're talking about servants. Moses is called the servant of God, the servant of the Lord. It's his title. Moses goes to a rock to get water. These guys go to a rock and get wine, which is the all, you know, kind of a happy blessing. They get joy.
Which
from
still
this,
is.
Which is a parallel to the Old Testament. That's in my Torah class. It's a
Here
parallel to the Old Testament, because, you know, Moses goes and gets water. You know, Moses, under the law, you know, he's constrained by law. And, you know, his first miracle is changing water into blood, you know, the Nile, for the, you know, the Egyptians go, ooh. Jesus' first miracle is turning water into wine.
At a party where everyone's having a wonderful time.
Mm-hmm. And it's you know, it's a sign that something new is coming.
Yeah, and joyful and fun that can be shared by everyone.
Right.
All the disciples were at the wedding, not just Jesus. All of them were there.
Yeah. And that wine too is, you know, once it was turned into wine, he said, now draw some out and take it. In other words, you're supposed to use it. You know, you don't say, oh, isn't this nice? We got these jugs full of wine.
Well, we'll
now
save it for the next daughter, right?
And, and as you pointed out, he didn't pray over it.
Right.
He just said, fill the jars with water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no ritual.
No fanfare.
No ritual, nothing.
Yeah.
No fanfare. And how happy Mary must have been. Mm-hmm. Not because he performed a miracle, but because now the host and hostess were
I knew
okay.
he could do it. No.
Thank you, Jesus. I bet she thanked him. I think they had a nice relationship.
I think
they did.
Yeah.
Well, I know you were, when we talked about, Jesus talking to John and Peter about what he wanted them to do, I'll read Luke 5, which was when the fishermen were first called as disciples. And then why don't I read that? And then we can talk about how, Jesus talked to John and Peter after that. Okay. So this is Luke chapter 5, verse 4. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and set down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. So we're seeing another, just a physical display of abundance. You couldn't miss it. It says everybody was astonished. They caught nothing. They had nothing. And then with one word from Jesus, the nets were breaking. They couldn't even bring them all in. Mm-hmm. There were so many fish. It was such an abundant
and
catch.
And they have to act in faith because their efforts had failed. But he tells them, go into the deep because that's where the fish are.
Mm-hmm. I mean, really, it's hear and obey.
Yes.
You know, hineni.
Mm-hmm. Hineni.
Here I am, Lord. And it's really hearing God's word and then acting upon it. Because
even when you don't see anything.
Even when you don't see it. And, you know, Phil and I have talked about, and was this in the Torah study?
Oh.
No, I'm only joking. I'm sorry. I'm only joking.
All right. Wait a minute. I know one thing. I know when Moses got to the Red Sea, he had to wade in.
Yes.
And then the sea parted. So he had to do his part. They were in the water when it parted.
He had to put a staff over there.
Yeah. They were in it when it parted. All right. That's okay. I represent everyone who did not take the Torah class. There.
We should have online registration for your Torah class. No. So when Jesus, when this happens, they had worked all day. They were tired. They were exhausted. And many times, we've talked about this before, many times in our walk of faith, we're tired and we're exhausted, and the Lord asks us to do something.
No results. You haven't had any results, and then there's another.
And the temptation is to, man, I'm really tired. I want to get some rest.
And we justify it. I don't have time. Right. I have to do this instead.
Right. And it's when you step out in faith, in that moment of your own weakness, when you're not relying upon yourself, that God really provides with that abundance. You know, those are the times that I've seen in my own life where things just happen that I'm like, wow, I didn't have anything to do with it. And it just puts everything back into the proper perspective of where it should be.
Well, and it's different for everyone. Like, here's like a really small thing about today. I was happy when there was no snow on the way here because it makes me a little bit nervous to drive in the snow. Mm. So, I thank you, God, for this wonderful sunshine and great weather, mm-hmm. because that was a provision I thought for me, because then I didn't have to be anxious about driving through the snow. It's not the same for everybody, mm-hmm. but that was one for me on the way. So
our limo driver is usually late, yeah, so we usually have to drive ourselves.
The driver gets me here.
I haven't gotten to, maybe after I take the Torah class, I'll be given a driver.
Then, of course, Steve and I have to come in the back entrance because there's always people out here looking for autographs and
now
stuff.
The paparazzi are bad. I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Just don't, you know.
Yeah, we just try to avoid that. Anyway. So.
Yeah, but,
well,
you know.
Yes, after they brought in their huge catch is when they were called to go.
Exactly. Yeah.
Be fishers of men.
Yeah.
So I know that's what.
And then there's, you know, in John 21, there's kind of another episode of fishing where they're not catching anything. And, you know, this is after the resurrection, just before the ascension. Jesus is on the shore and he says, "Oh, put your net over there." Then they catch all these fish and then they realize it's him. Peter, of course, jumps in the water and runs to the land. The other guys have to do all the work. But, you know, after he makes them fish and toast, it sounds like he's got fish and bread roasting. So after they have breakfast, you know, Jesus has a little talk with Peter.
Now, how cool is that? Jesus is on the beach making breakfast. I just think that's great.
It's awesome. And then, you know, I always like to think Peter goes, oh, here we go. Now I'm in big trouble.
Because, of course, everyone knows that just before the resurrection, Peter did deny that he knew Jesus three times after saying there's no way he would ever do that.
Yeah.
He did it three times.
Yeah.
And he had to have felt terrible
about
it.
And then, you know, they have this conversation about, do you love me? And, you know, and I think you were going to mention that, but so I don't want to talk about it.
No, go ahead.
You're
going to
talk about
it,
but, you know, Jesus basically said, you know, in Greek, there's multiple words for love, as you probably all know. Those of you listening to did you take my Greek class?
Oh, no. I didn't take that class either.
No. You know, Jesus.
But
Jesus,
I love your Thanksgiving dinner, if that counts.
Okay. Maybe next year we'll do a show live from Thanksgiving dinner.
I haven't taken his Greek class.
And you haven't been to Thanksgiving, so we're even.
That's right, I
have some presentation problems with my turkey. But
no, okay. It's
Julie's
always
husband
a
usually
great
fixes
day.
It up. But anyway, but Jesus asked Peter, do you love me in the sense of supernatural, selfless love, which is agape? And Peter answers with phileo, which is brotherly love. So, yeah, I like you a lot. I like being here with you. You know, I love you as a friend. Then he asked him again, and Peter answers the same. So then finally Jesus says to him, you know, do you have that brotherly love for me? He says, yes. So this is what he's got to work with. I mean, this is what we all got to work with.
Yeah.
There's not many of us who have agape love. It's almost
agape
impossible.
Agape love is self-sacrificing, which means you would exchange your life
for
not just a stranger, but maybe somebody who's not a great person.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I think most of us would say, oh, I would stand between my child and a train. I mean, I wouldn't even have to think about it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's not what agape love is.
Right. Right. And, you know, Paul talks about that when he says, you know, sometimes somebody will give their life for a righteous person, somebody, but, you know, gave his life for everybody while we were still sinners.
Yeah.
And, you know, so then Peter finally, so he kind of comes to Peter's level and says, okay, now you're going to follow. But when you were younger, you dressed yourself. You went where you wanted to go. But now other people are going to dress you. They're going to tie your hands. You're going to go where you don't want to go.
Yeah. And I don't think, well, I'm sure he didn't understand the magnitude of what Jesus was saying, because if he had, he probably wouldn't have stuck around.
Right. But then, as we always talk about our friend Peter, this is where he sees John out the corner of his eye and says, well, what about him? Is he going to get tied up too?
But, and don't we do that all the time, right? Whether it's in a family or at work, right? Somebody gets a project and you're like, well, I'm supposed to do all that. What about, about this other person?
Yeah.
They're in my department. Why don't they have to do that?
Yeah.
And then we get all upset and, you know,
get all sidetracked. Yeah.
We tell everybody about it. The story takes on a life of its own. Pretty soon everyone we know, I mean, I've never done this personally, but I've heard other people do. Everyone we know knows that, you know, you were asked to do something that was maybe a little bit more than you had expected.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a chance to do that, I'm going to say, almost on a daily basis, don't you think? Whether it's at home, doing a chore, or at work, or being nice to someone in line. Maybe your cashier's having a really tough day. Because I always think, I almost get offended when other people will ask, well, I can't relate to the Bible. It's, you know, it's not about our life today, and it was long ago, and you can't prove anything. I think it's exactly like our life today. We just have to understand what we're being asked to do. We may not be asked to cast our literal nets off of a boat, but you could be nice to a cashier that's having a hard day.
Mm-hmm.
You could let somebody in front of you in traffic, not you, Uncle Phil, because
no,
I know
that's out of the question. I could not honk my horn.
whatever it means to you, right? It's not the same for everybody. So I think that we have to really start looking at our day-to-day life, our day-to-day actions, and see what am I being asked to do that's like the apostles, but of course different.
But, you know, even though I refer to, you know, my friend Peter and, you know, kind of like sidetracking himself, but he did go.
He did
follow. And then
for the rest of his life.
And before, this was just before Pentecost, of course, and at Pentecost he changes completely. But at that point he could have said, hey, listen, I don't want my hands tied up and be taken somewhere else.
Or like, what do you mean? What do you mean my hands tied up?
You know, I'm going to go back to my fishing business. You guys go do whatever. But no, he followed. And he went all the way. So it's, you know, he didn't know what was ahead.
And think of what that meant. Imagine if I said, okay, when we're done this evening, here's what we're going to do. You'd be like, well, no, wait. I can't. I have children. I have a job. I have a house. I have, yeah. You know, my relatives. I have, you know, the garden or whatever your
Luke 9
distraction is. Yeah.
Well, second break is here.
We got to follow the music.
Yes. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
To the end of every day, praise at all night. All the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing the praise. Who is like him? Lion and the Lamb, seated on the throne. Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. Come praise Him, praise Adonai. From the rising of the sun till the end of every day, praise Adonai. All the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. So, last segment of the show. Go!
Okay.
And we probably have like about another hour and a half of stuff.
Well, we love the theme of abundance, and we love our wonderful cousin who actually married into the family that asked us this question, is how do we recognize abundance? And luckily we serve a God of abundance. So there's abundantly abundant. But we were talking about how we can identify it in our personal life when cultures and other forces in our world make it difficult to identify. So we were talking about how God will give us the grace to do things that we wouldn't normally mm-hmm. have the strength to do. And I am going to read John 10 verses 10 through 18. And then we're going to talk about how that happens, how that transformation can come over us so that we can recognize and help others get to abundance. Okay. So John 10:10, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd risks and lays down his own life for the sheep. But the hired servant, he who merely serves for wages, who is neither the shepherd nor the owner of the sheep, when he sees the wolf coming, deserts the flock and runs away. And the wolf chases and snatches them and scatters the flock. Now the hireling flees because he merely serves for wages and is not himself concerned about the sheep, cares nothing for them. I am the good shepherd, and I know and recognize my own, and my own know and recognize me. Even as the Father knows me, I also know the Father, and I am giving my very own life and laying it down on behalf of the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring and impel those also, and they will listen to my voice and heed my call. And so there will be one flock under one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my own life to take it back again. Hmm. So that's a very complex passage, I think. And one of the meanings is not only did Jesus save the people who were following him, but the people who aren't. He laid down his life for everyone, mm-hmm. not just those who believe in him yeah. and are trying to follow him.
Mm-hmm. And he's really talking about, he's speaking to the Israelites, mm-hmm. but he's saying, I have other sheep that don't know my voice, the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't just for the Jews. It was for the Jews and the Gentiles. He came to redeem all of mankind. And that abundance that he talks about having living life in the full, having it to the full. In the Old Testament, when Moses had the Holy Spirit upon him, God took a portion of the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. and poured it out on the other 72. Two of the guys were late for the prayer meeting, right. Eldad and Medad, yep. but they still got it. But it was a portion of.
I can relate to that.
So even if you're late to the prayer meeting, God can still bless you. So, but it's not, you don't want to be late on purpose.
Don't be late for church.
Don't be late for the Torah study. But when Pentecost comes.
Now I don't even want to go.
No. But when Pentecost comes, mm-hmm. God pours out the fullness of his spirit upon all of the disciples, all 120 that were in that upper room in abundance. To, as you were saying before, the jar is to the brim. Well, what God's doing is the jars to the brim. Those 30-gallon jars are to the yeah. brim. God takes the water and just keeps on pouring it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's abundance.
And it overflows to everything.
Yes. And, yeah. and just not that long ago. I mean, you know, the crucifixion wasn't that long before Pentecost. Mm-hmm. Not that long ago, Judas was turning him in. Mm-hmm. Peter was denying him. In that very place.
Right.
I just
right.
think that's hugely significant because yes. what a transformation yes. in mm-hmm. the face of.
Yeah. And he brings abundance in that sense that Steve's talking about in terms of the Holy Spirit, because the prophets had Holy Spirit fall on them and they spoke in the Spirit. And, you know, if you read through all the Tanakh, all the Old Testament, there's examples of that. One prophet is speaking out, thus says the Lord. Everybody else is looking mm-hmm. at him saying, what a kook. Then, you know, you have the beginning of the New Testament, which is Spirit, you know, falls on Mary, falls on Elizabeth, and they say something, and John the Baptist. Then all of a sudden at Pentecost, it's poured out, the Spirit's poured out without measure. And the church is born, literally, because there's an abundance of power that now goes into all those people. And like we always say, all of us are here because of a Jewish evangelist that went out and preached the Jewish Messiah. Through Gentile lands, through all the pagan lands. And it's the outpouring of the Spirit that did that in abundance.
Yeah.
Yeah, and people, I'm sure they thought they were kooks. I like when you say that, because kook is such a funny word.
Oh, yeah.
But to someone
had
who...
too much wine. When I had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it was in Strongsville at an evening prayer meeting at a church. And I couldn't get up out of the chair. When I did get up out of the chair, I was literally staggering around, and I remember somebody saying, we have refreshments over here. And I was looking at them like, refreshments? What refreshments? What are refreshments? You know, I tried to drive home, and I pulled out of the parking lot, turned the wrong way, and drove a few minutes, and I said, wait a minute, where am I?
It is a transforming experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It can be.
Yeah. And that, you know, as Peter stepped out and gave that awesome homily, it was under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Because we know many times Peter would say things that just, you know, Jesus would go, no, you know, he would kind of have to correct them a little bit.
I mean, no offense to you fellas, but can't you just totally relate to the dumb stuff that Peter said sometimes?
Absolutely. Oh, of course. We do it all the time.
But, can we call fire down on them now?
Yeah. And, you know, even, you know, you even see it in the story of Jonah.
Yeah.
Jonah goes to Nineveh. God says, tell them to repent or else they're going to be wiped out. So Jonah reluctantly goes to Nineveh, gives a message of repentance. They all sit with sackcloth and ashes, even the king, because they make a decree. God relents of what the punishment was, because he's showing mercy upon them because they have turned from their evil ways. And then Jonah's up there bellyaching going, yeah. aren't you going to wipe them out now?
Yeah. He's got a seat from up on the hill. He wants to watch the city be destroyed.
Come on. I got the good seat, Lord. Yeah. Let him have it.
Aw, man.
No. And that's God's mercy. And that's the abundance of God's mercy. And like we were talking about before, Jesus came and died for us while we were still at odds with God, while we were still sinners. Mm-hmm. And we still are sinners. Mm-hmm. How much more of an abundance of love can you ask for from anybody?
That's right. And this is the ultimate victory over Satan. It's the ultimate victory over sin and death. Because Satan sees you as a sinner and says, ha ha, see?
Gotcha.
But even though we're sinners, we can be saved. Is this the end of the show already?
Yes. I would say yes.
Wow.
Yes.
We do not have an abundance
of time.
Awesome.
Yeah, we don't have an abundance of time. Well, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that the grace and power of the Holy Spirit would open your heart to the abundance of God's love, mercy, and forgiveness through His Son, Jesus Christ. Have
Amen.
A great week. Thanks, Julie, for being on the show. Have a great everyone.
Oh, it was great to be here. Thanks.
God bless. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.